little longer, maybe. I came over to the old church, and Sister Sharon, I'll never forget the first time I was there. Sister Sharon was a shouting and a dancing and a speaking in tongues. Amen. Well, that's been at least 14 years ago, and she's still shouting and a dancing and a speaking in that heavenly language. Amen. I'm glad some things hold true, aren't you? Amen. We're so glad for what the Lord has done. Looking forward to this revival this week. I want you to be coming, inviting the lost and different ones to come. Amen. Let's have revival. Thank God. That's what the Lord will do. Appreciate Brother Mike, your pastor, being my friend and being such a blessing to us through the years. Turn with us tonight to the book of John, chapter number 2. And then we'll also read a scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Amen. So glad for the offering tonight. May the Lord bless you. We appreciate your giving. Let's just keep this good spirit of worship right here with us tonight. Amen. And see what the Lord will do in this meeting. Felt like the Lord dealt with my heart heavily today about these scriptures, and I want to see if the Lord will help us on this tonight. John chapter number 2 and verse number 13. John 2 and 13 says, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Then in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, and verse number 12. Matthew, chapter 21, and verse number 12. "And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Amen. I want to preach a little bit tonight, if the Lord will help us, on the harmless doves. The harmless doves. We read in our scripture, in our text, in our tonight reading, two different accounts. And in the book of John, chapter 2, we read that Jesus entered into Jerusalem and he went to the temple, with it being the time of Passover. And that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. That was the first, one of the first accounts of Jesus and the early part of his ministry. Well, then I read to you again in Matthew chapter 21. And this was at the end of his ministry. For before the scripture, up in verse 9 of the same chapter of Matthew 21, he had entered into Jerusalem, and the crowd had cried, "Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They had laid their garments and the palm leaves, and they had strolled them in front of him as he entered in that triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Amen. So we see that in the beginning of his ministry, he went to the temple and cleansed it. And in the end of his ministry, the first thing he did and the last thing he did. So therefore, we need to look at this and see if there is a precedent, if there is something here for us tonight to learn. Amen. This has got to be important. Amen. And the Passover, as you know, was an annual feast that was commemorated in commemoration of the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt's bondage. You remember the blood was taken from the lamb and put over the lintel of the door and on the sides of the doorpost. And at midnight, when the death angel came by, every house that did not have the blood applied, they found the firstborn would be dead. And so this Passover was instituted then. And it was to be a yearly celebration, a yearly feast, where they would come together and they would come to Jerusalem and they would keep this Passover. Amen. They were to eat it with their loins girded, with their staff in their hand. They were to eat it with their shoes shod. They were to eat it in remembrance of what the Lord had done for them. Amen. And it was not just a feast of remembrance, but in John 11 and 35, it said, "And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem to before the Passover to purify themselves." So there's something here about that Passover time. It was a time of a yearly commemoration. It was a time of purification, of sanctification. Amen. It was a time where people examined themselves. They came from long ways off, some of them. And when they came to Jerusalem, they came on business. They came to fulfill this ceremonial thing that was instituted here. They came to purify themselves. I read where Jesus in the book of John was very faithful to the Passover. For you see, it was required that every male who was of age and who was of ability would go to Jerusalem and they would offer that sacrifice of a sheep. Josephus said that there was 200,000 or more sheep that was offered during the Passovers that Jesus attended. Amen. So it was a very important time. It was a time of consecration and sanctification. Jesus set a precedent for us. He attended every Passover. It's listed in the Bible during His ministry. There was four times that He attended Passover. And of course, the last time He was that Passover lamb. But we read the first time in John 2 in our text. And then in John chapter 5 and verse number 1, it said, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and the Jews went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda." And so this was the second Passover. And then in John chapter 6 and verse 4, "The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh." And then we read to you John 11:35, and that was the fourth time that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Amen. So we see that Jesus let it be known that it was important for us to fulfill. The Bible said Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Amen. He came to be the fulfillment of every word that has been written, every prophecy that had been prophesied. And so He kept the Passover. Amen. Stay with me a little bit. And so the precedent here, the things that were set at the beginning of His ministry and at the end of the ministry. We mentioned these two texts tonight. The first time that He entered, amen, in John, He entered in obscurity. Very few people really knew Him. His ministry had not flourished. He was still picking and bringing in His disciples and His followers. The last time He would enter into Jerusalem, amen, it would be a time that He was a very well-known person. And there was a lot of, amen, people in that city that already had heard of Him and already had heard Him teach and already had heard Him preach. Amen. Oh, help me a little bit. And so He enters in. The first time when He comes in, what does He find? In John chapter 2, He entered into the temple, amen, and He found those that sold oxen, and those that sold sheep, and the dove, those that sold doves, and the changers of money sitting. Amen. Now, if you were coming to Jerusalem, and if you were coming to the house of God to get something from God, why are we here tonight? Why are we here in this revival? Amen. I hope we came, amen, with a prayer on our lips saying, Lord, I want to get something from you. Lord, I want help. Lord, I want to be holy. God, I want to be cleansed. God, I want to serve you. And so I can see a desire as these people would come. Amen. And no doubt when Jesus came and He entered into Jerusalem, amen, He came come into the temple. And what do you think He found? Amen. He did not find people, amen, that was in great deep prayer and consecration. He did not find, as we sing tonight, Sister Sharon obeying the Lord and many others. He didn't feel the Spirit of the Lord resting down, amen, there in Jerusalem in the temple. But when He entered, amen, He could hear the lowing of the oxen. Amen. He could hear the sound of the sheep. Amen. He could see, amen, the money changer sitting right there in the temple. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Can you imagine the distractions, amen, that they had to put up with? And that's what happens to each and every one of us. I mean, we really want to serve God. We really want to go to heaven. We really want to live a life that pleases the Lord. Amen. But the devil will do everything he can to distract us. I mean, when folks come to pray and get saved, the devil is there trying to distract them and trying to keep them from really praying through and getting what they need from God. Amen. Oh, yes. And so when Jesus came in, He comes into this situation. Now, could you imagine tonight if I would have brought through this door tonight, amen, a big cow, amen, and tied into that altar, amen, and I got up and started singing, amen, there'd have been a lot of people, they'd have been looking over there at that cow, and just about the time, amen, that these sisters begin to sing, amen, you'd hear something go, moo, amen. Hey, can you be a good cow? Amen. Amen. You be my cow tonight. Amen. And so they could hear this distraction. Amen. That's right. I mean, how many times have we come to church to get something from the Lord? Amen. But there was distractions. And so there was the cow. Amen. And there was the sheep. Amen. There was all these animals. Not only that, if you've ever had, I went in the goat business one time. I thought, you know, I'm going to raise some goats. So I went, amen, and bought me two goats and fenced in a little area in my backyard and put those goats in there. Amen. Just a few feet behind my house. And it didn't take me long to figure out one thing about goats. They stink. Amen. I mean, you could step out the door. Amen. You could smell them things. They was terrible. And so I put an ad in the paper and I sold my whole stock and barrel. Amen. And I got out of the goat business. Well, they had all these animals in the temple. I mean, there was a terrible smell. There was a terrible odor. The sounds was filling the temple. Amen. And here somebody come that really wanted deliverance. And really wanted help. And really wanted to pray through. But oh, all these things. So Jesus, stay with me. I'm going to get to my message here in a minute. But Jesus, when He entered into the temple, and He saw what was going on, amen, it said, amen, that He sat down and began to make a scourge. I'll tell you, Jesus was just as anointed when He was bearing the scourge as He was when He was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. What is He doing?
He's trying to cleanse the house of God, where people can get deliverance, where people can find salvation, where people can get help. Sometimes that God has to do a house cleaning, amen, in order, amen, to make the house of God a place of prayer instead of a place of confusion. Oh, come on now. And so Jesus enters in and He makes that scourge. And then He gets up and He said He began to drive them out of the temple. He begins to whoop that old cow. Amen. And it begins to run. Amen. He begins to beat those animals. And He drives those men out. He takes His foot, in my mind, I can see Him as He pushes over that table. Amen. And that money begins to fly and sail all through the air. Somebody said, well, I knew Brother Mike was in the flesh. Amen. I could tell when he got quit getting anointed and he got in the flesh. Well, if you'd have been there that day, you'd have probably said, well, Jesus is in the flesh. But I'll tell you, He was still anointed of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why? He wanted to see the house of God, a house where people could get help. And so He purged it and He drove those things out and He cleansed the temple. But I want you to notice something in John chapter 2. It was Jesus who drove them out of the temple. The sheep, the oxen, poured out the changers' money and overthrew the table. And then in verse 16 it said, and He said unto, and He said unto them, doves. He did not open the cages of all the doves and let them go. He did not drive them out. He did not, amen, take them out. But He gave a commandment, an order, instructions. And He said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not My Father's house an house of merchandise. Amen. And so I want to preach to you a little while, if the Lord will help us, on harmless doves. I mean, we can see how that big cow, amen, hallelujah, was a hindrance. We can see those big things and we know that they're sin and we know that they're wrong. I mean, when God, amen, reached down and saved you, amen, and delivered you. I mean, if you maybe you had a bad habit with drugs or with alcohol. Amen. Maybe you were not faithful to your companion. And when you got saved, amen, those things by the help of the Lord, amen, the Lord drove them out. I said the Lord done some things for these people. The Lord drove them out. But that was not the end of it. He said, I have drove out the big things. I have handled the things you could not handle. I have delivered you from the bottle. I have delivered you from the drugs. I have delivered you from those terrible things that you could not do yourself. But now, He said, I want you to take out those doves yourself. If you're not careful, you will fail, amen, to do what the Lord said. Amen. Oh, but Brother Steve, those doves are the symbol of love. I mean, that is the symbol of peace. They're so beautiful. I mean, there's a lot of churches that have the dove representing the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mean, it's just a beautiful bird. Amen. But can I tell you that if you were in the house of the Lord tonight and I had a few live doves over here in a cage, there'd probably be very few children that would be paying attention to Brother Steve. They'd be watching them doves hop around. That's right. In fact, there might not be too many adults. Amen. Because we're so easily distracted. And the Lord knew that. And so He said, if you really want to worship Me, if you really want to serve serve me, then there's some things you got to do when I instruct you to do them. There's some little harmless dust. You say, I can't find it in the Bible in black and white. Show me, preacher, in black and white where it says, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. Amen. But I'll tell you, there may be some things that you cannot find in black and white or in red. But there's some things that God deals with your heart about, and He speaks to you about, and He says, you don't need to do this. You don't need to go there. You don't need to take part in that. Why? Because it's taken away your love for me. It's distracting you from worshiping me. Amen. Those little harmless doves. Amen. When I pastored, there was a man by the name of Brother Ronnie Abbott. Brother Ronnie was a caretaker at a facility, a campground. And on that facility, they had a large building, like a Butler steel building type. And the sides were open. It was an open air. And they would have meetings there. And he was a caretaker. And so it was his job to keep all the grass cut, keep the buildings up, and things of that nature. Well, every fall, he had a big job ahead of him. Amen. For those pigeons would come in, and other birds, and they would get up in those steel purlins, and they would build nests. Amen. And they would litter that concrete, and amen, that steel would be filthy with their waste. And so Ronnie would get up there, and he would scrape it off, and he would wash it down and clean it all up, amen, about once or twice a year, and try to make it look presentable. Amen. I mean, there's no need in putting wire over these. It costs too much time and too much money, and it's just a few harmless little birds. They're not hurting anybody. Amen. But one day, Brother Ronnie got to where he was having a lot of problems with his lungs. He got to spitting up blood, and he got to where he couldn't hold out to do anything. He went to the doctor, and they began to run all kind of tests on him. Amen. They ruled out this and ruled out that, and they kept running tests, and he kept going to specialists. And finally, one day, there was a doctor, amen, and asked him, he said, have you ever been around a lot of birds, like poultry or some other type of birds? You ever raised birds or been around a lot of birds? And he said, well, no, I've never been around any birds like that. And he said, well, we have found out your problem. You have a very, very rare bird disease. He said, I do. He said, it comes from the waste of birds. And then it clicked in his mind. And he told that physician about his job and what he'd done. And that doctor told him, amen, don't you ever do that again. Amen, if you gotta quit that job and get another one, whatever you gotta do, amen, because it can be fatal. They begin to treat him with medicine, and he's still sick, but he's a lot better than he used to be. But you know how that came on him? Just a little harmless bird. Amen. Oh, I wish I could preach to you, amen, like I feel tonight, amen, and tell you, there's some things in your life, that when God begins to deal with you about them, there is a reason. Amen. God does not waste His conviction. God does not tease people. I pastored a man one time, and he come to me, and he said, God has dealt with me about thus and so. Amen. And it was a little while later, and he never did what he said God dealt with him about. Amen. And before long, amen, he went down spiritually. Before long, he began to spiral down. Amen. Why? Because God does not waste His conviction. If God has dealt with you about something, if God has spoke to your heart and said it needs to go, it needs to change, you need to move, amen, in a different direction, you need to listen to the voice of God. Amen. The Lord is not going to make you do anything. Amen. I mean, the Lord drove out some things He couldn't handle. Amen. Do you know why some people are backslid tonight? It's because God, it is not because they could not, amen, overcome their drugs and their drinking and their carousing. When they prayed at that altar, God saved them and took the desire away. Amen. But it was those little harmless doves. Amen. It was those little things that God dealt with them about that they refused to kill. Amen. You know, that old buddy that liked to go riding. Amen. Liked to listen to that rock and roll music. Amen. He liked to, amen, go out with the girls. He liked to go to those places. Come on here now. Amen. And you didn't feel good about it. You felt conviction. Amen. You saw and heard the dove. But you said, amen, well, there's no Bible against being a friend with somebody like that. Amen. But the Lord spoke to your heart and said, it's going to tear you down. You're feeding things you shouldn't feel. You're looking at things in a way that you should not look at them. There's people lost tonight because a little harmless dove. Amen. I mean, it's so innocent and so little, it's not going to get me. Amen. I've talked with people before and tried to warn them, tried to reason with them, and said, you don't need to go there. You don't need to do it. You don't need to be involved. But they would say, oh, Brother Steve, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm saved. And I got power to walk away. But you see those little harmless doves, before long they so, amen, distracted those individuals, that they ended up backsliding and losing out with God, because they would not get rid of that little harmless dove. I mean, that little harmless dove, amen, just setting up in the temple, amen, and he's not near as loud as the rest of them. Amen, he doesn't cause near the mess, and amen, it's not near the problem. Amen, in fact, it's just, amen, kind of beautiful. Amen. But the Lord said, it's got to go. Help me while I preach. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Amen. There's some things that God will deal with your heart about. And He may deal with my heart at different times and on different issues in different ways. Amen. But there will be times that without a doubt, you know it's not the preacher. And you know it's not your neighbor. But it's God Almighty convicting your heart. Amen. When you sit down and turn on that television set, and all of a sudden a curse word comes out of it, or there's a terrible scene of nudity, amen, or vile, profane things, amen, you feel something quicken in your spirit, and you try to get up and turn it off, amen, and you feel something, amen, swell up inside, amen, but then, amen, you'll think, and you'll say, but oh, it's just a little harmless dove, it's got a knob, and you know I can control it. Amen. I heard not long ago, I was traveling somewhere. Amen. I had the radio on listening to the news. And a man came on. And they was interviewing him. It was during the time that there was so much going on out in California with these men and women and women, amen, trying to get recognized, you know, by the government as being married couples. I tell you, homosexuality is still a sin. You'll still die and go to hell, amen, if you commit those acts and if God does not forgive you of them. Amen. Well, amen, I was listening to them talk about that, and they interviewed a man, amen, or some man, I don't know who he was, and he said, yeah, he said, I was watching the news. Amen. That's what I always used to hear. We've got it for the news. Well, he was watching the news, and said, all of a sudden, my little boy was there, amen, maybe his girl was there, and said, all of a sudden, they flashed and showed two men kissing mouth to mouth right on the television. He said, I couldn't get it off fast enough. And my boy began to ask me questions. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. Oh, it's time for you to quit overriding the
the voice of the Lord. Amen. Whatever He's speaking to you about. Amen. Whatever He's talking to you about. Amen. He may be telling you, you don't need to apply for that job. He may be telling you, you don't need, amen, to go to that place. It's time you said, Lord, I don't want to lose my soul over money. I don't want to lose my testimony. Amen. Over carnality.
You see what sanctification is? My wife's aunt prayed a few weeks ago and she called and left a message on the voicemail for my wife. And she said, Ro, she said, this is your Aunt Jo. I got saved a couple nights ago. She said, call me and tell me how I get sanctified. Amen. How do I get sanctified? Well, that's a common question. Amen. Amen. In fact, in a lot of holiness churches, they really need some teaching on how to get sanctified. Hallelujah. But you see, the thing about it is the Scripture said, he that suffered without the gate. Amen. He that suffered without the gate. He suffered and he bled and he shed his blood. Amen. To purchase our sanctification. Amen. So the same work of the shedding of the blood that saves us is the same blood that's able not only to save us or cleanse us from past sins, but it's able to cleanse us and sanctify us. Amen. So we don't have to sin in the future. Amen. What was the Lord telling them? He was saying, I'm cleaning house. Amen. I'm cleaning it all up. But now, I'm telling you, get rid of those little doves. Amen. What about it tonight? Is there a little dove in your life that God has dealt with you about? That God has talked to your soul about? And He said, you need to get rid of this little dove. Amen. You need to get rid of this little, amen, dove. You got to be willing to let it go. Amen. Sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes it's envy. Amen. It's just a little something. Amen. That you just, it hinders you when you go to worship. It hinders you when you kneel down. Amen. Well, the Bible said in the book of Matthew, we read to you, and the Scripture said in Matthew 21, now this is the end of Jesus' ministry. From here, amen, He will go to the cross, and He will be offered as that sacrificial Passover lamb. But it says in Matthew 21, when He entered, they have this great triumphant entry. They cried, Hosanna. And then in verse 12 it said, and Jesus went into the temple of God. And He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. I want you to know something here. Notice something. He did not drive out the oxen the second time. He did not drive out the sheep the second time. Amen. Those things that He drove out, these people had maintained that. But when it come to the Lord turning to them and saying, now I want you to get rid of those doves, we find that those doves were still in the temple. And what did Jesus do? Did He say, well, I understand. I mean, I know I told you that it would be better for you and it would remove the distractions. It would help you to get closer to God. But, you know, every man must work out his own salvation. Amen. I've heard that scripture misquoted so many times. Amen. The very scripture before that said, amen, that there was a work that He did in us, in every one of us. And then the next time, work out that salvation. Your own salvation. In other words, He done a work in us, and it's up to us, amen, to work it out. To go to God, amen, with fear and trembling, and say, Lord, is there a harmless dove that's hindering my testimony? Is there a harmless dove that's making me what I cannot feel God like I want to feel God? Or I cannot be used by God like I want to be used by God? Lord, don't let
a little harmless dove ruin my testimony. Amen. Stay with me just a little bit tonight. Amen. And he came back a second time. He did not drive those previous things out. Amen. But he came again, and he came and he was upset with those that sold the doves. And he said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came into the temple, and he healed them. There was people standing outside the temple wanting to get in, wanting healing, wanting help. But inside the temple, just those little doves was enough that there was no healing going on in the house. That there was no deliverance going on in the house. But oh, when the Lord, amen, drove them out. When the Lord, amen, removed the doves, the money changers, and got rid of them. Then here come the sick and the afflicted. And he healed them. Amen. And he recovered them. Amen. To the state that God created them. Can I tell you tonight that those little harmless doves, if you're not careful, is going to cause you to lose out with God. Amen. They're going to cause you to lose out with God. It's just a little thing, Brother Steve. It's just a small thing. But has God dealt with your heart about it? But has God dealt with you in the preaching and in the teaching and in the singing? Going down the road, flip on your radio, some old worldly preacher, and they'll say something that pricks your heart about what God's dealing with you about. But what you must remember is God is doing these things for your good. He's not dealing with your heart about things just to bring affliction on you or make you suffer. Every time you obey God and do what He said, every time you're always glad you did. I've never heard anybody that obeyed God look back and say, boy, I wished I hadn't obeyed the Lord. But I've heard many of them stand and say, I wished I would have obeyed God. I wished I would have done what the Lord told me to do. Amen. Well, right here we're looking at the Lord as He comes in and cleanses that temple and gives a command. Get rid of those little doves. Take them out. Amen. But oh, this is what the Lord put on my heart for us right here tonight. Amen. I feel like someone right here tonight, God's been dealing with your heart. God's been talking to you about some things. Amen. It's time for you to make a move and a commitment. It's time for you to get rid of that little harmless dove. Amen. Would you stand to your feet tonight? That little harmless dove. I knew a preacher, and he was a young man, very anointed, very read in the Scriptures. And he had something to say when he got up to preach. Very, very anointed. Well, I hadn't heard from him in a while. He kind of faded off the scene. I wondered what happened to him. So not long ago, I was with some folks. And his name came up. I mentioned his name maybe, or they did. I said, whatever happened to that brother? He sure could preach. And they said, you hadn't heard? You don't know? No. No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. They said, yeah, Brother Steve, he's out of church. I said, I'd have never thought, as steadfast as he seemed and as strong as he seemed, that he'd have got out of church. And they said, yeah, he's been out a couple of years now. But they said, you know what it was, Brother Steve? Man, you always fear, you know, it'll be some woman or some terrible act. He said, Brother Steve, it was something little. Something little. Before he got saved, he was bad to listen to rock and roll and that old head-banging music. Well, God saved him and delivered him. And started using him to preach and anointing him. And he thought, well, you know, I'm not going to listen to rock and roll no more. But I'm going to listen to Christian rock and roll. And so we got him some of them CDs. And
I don't really know nothing about it, to be honest with you. I don't know if I've ever even heard one of them songs. But I've been in the music store and looked at the cover of the CDs. I'll tell you, there were some of the most hideous, demonic-looking pictures on those CD covers. Supposed to be Christian rock. But he got to listening to that music. That little harmless dove. They're talking about the Lord. They're talking about Jesus. But that little harmless dove just flew up there and lit. And before long, that call of the wild got to calling him. Before long, it wasn't just Christian rock and roll. But he was going back to that old pit that he come out of. How many times, and I don't know, but how many times was he in a service just like this? And the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, "Son, you don't need to listen to that Christian rock. But Lord, it's just a harmless dove. It's just something little. But you see, the Lord knows more about you than you know about yourself." Come on here, I'm about to close. Lord, deal with your heart and say, you don't need the internet. Amen. Come on here now. Amen. I know a lot of folks has got it. Amen. I go on it, check my email. I'm not saying it's a sin to have it. But I know people that has got on it, looked at sites, went to places they shouldn't have went. You can't tell me that the voice of the Lord didn't speak to them and say, you need to call and cancel that service. Oh, but it's harmless. But it wasn't to you. It wasn't to you. I'm just going to go to that worldly church. I know they don't believe like we do. But I know I'm settling in my heart what I believe. It's really harmless. And you watch your children go the way of the world. Backslide and go to hell. I'm preaching to you from my heart tonight. I felt like God dealt with my heart today and said, I've been dealing with some people in this church. I've been speaking to them. Do you know what a privilege it is to have God speak to you? To have the third person, Brother Tim, in the triune Godhead, come down and speak to you. What you need to do tonight is say, yes, Lord, I hear you. And I'm going to quit. I'm going to get rid of. I'm going to get past. I'm going to do what you dealt with me about, God. I'm going to do it. While the Spirit of the Lord is moving, would there be one right now that you'd just be honest? And you'd step out and come down to this altar and say, Brother Steve, there's a little harmless dove. It may not be a gross sin. It may not be anything that others would even count as sin. But I know God has been dealing with me about it. I want you to come quickly right now to this altar. That little harmless dove. Come on right now. That little harmless dove. Amen. God's dealing with your heart. With every head bowed. Amen. While we're praying. While you're considering and praying. Is there one here? Tonight you're lost. You're not saved. You know why? A little harmless dove came up in your life. You gave into it. Tonight you're headed to hell. Why don't you come back home tonight, sinner friend, backslider? Why don't you come to this altar and surrender all and say, Jesus, if you'll save me, God, I'll listen to your voice. Would you come? Would there be one right now? You're not saved. What about it? Why don't you come? It was just a little harmless dove. Why don't you come and surrender it to Jesus? He'll give you the power to be an overcomer. He'll give you the power to be an overcomer. Is there one right now? Come and surrender all. Amen. All right. Maybe you're here and you say there's something God's been dealing my heart about. And I know it's hindering me. I know it's pulling at me. And I want to come and give it to God. There's one in the altar. Is there another? Would you come? Oh, listen to the voice of God tonight. Bless this one. Bless this one. Listen to the voice of God. God speaking to you. And He's saying, I want that little harmless dove. I want that little thing. Others will tell you it's okay. But God's telling you, it's not okay with me. Is there another? Amen. Is there another? Amen. Is there another? Just a few seconds longer. Is there another? Would you come? All right, let's come. Everyone that would. Amen. Sisters, come. Brothers, come. Let's kneel around these. Let's help them tonight. And if God's been dealing with your heart about something, why don't you come on tonight? If you're here and you don't know the Lord, you're not where you need to be with God. And you say, Brother Steve, I've been tricked. The devil has tricked me. I believed a lie. I thought I could handle it, but I couldn't handle it. Would you come? Would you surrender all to Jesus? Let's come. Oh, young people, you can't play with sin. Can any man take fire in his bosom and not be burnt? You can't play with sin. Oh, let's seek the Lord a little while. Let's seek the Lord a little while. Blessings. Come on. Come on, that's right. Let's seek Him.